time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday, fun. No conflict Friday. Mateo's down here. Willie Ramirez with us as well. Here is Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Griffin's in the house as well. He is the company. William, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. You survived.
Survived what?
You survived Mountain West Media Crush. Interviews galore. Early mornings. Everything
early,
that
early
we did.
Mornings. You know, you're right for me, not for you. You told me yesterday you were there, what, 6:20 in the morning?
Yeah.
Earlier?
Yeah.
And you also told me that certain media types were annoying you. We don't have to out them.
Mm.
But that's most of what we, first of all, it's a fun event to cover. And next week we're planning on being at Big Ten Media Days down at Mandalay Bay.
Three of them.
There's not really a survive. They're long days. It's not really a survive thing. The only thing you're really surviving are the other media members.
Yeah, that was an interesting interaction because, as I told you, like I wasn't sure what to expect to drive down there that early. It was my first time sort of driving into town and across town at a certain time of the day since moving on that side of town. So I figured I'd be rushing into traffic. Later, company member Adam Hill told me that my worries would have been, you know, justified a couple of weeks ago, but they finished all that construction.
Dude,
Tropicana.
It's a joy for another couple of weeks in that area until they start doing a whole Bollards project around Trop and LV Boulevard. And if they actually start working on the baseball stadium, then it goes back to being a little more difficult. But you're right. They, you know, for all the bitching and moaning we did, and all the time it took. And by the way, the 15 is closed again. I think this time it's what, like Spring Mountain to Trop?
It's southbound, not north.
Yeah. For all that stuff, like what they put together, I think is pretty good. And I, fingers crossed, because there's been a lot of road projects in this town. When they got done, I was like, wait, this is like, I don't know if this is adequate. Like they screwed it up. I actually think they did a pretty decent job, at least in the first mission.
I would say so because, as I was saying, I was surprising that I got down there as quick as I did, was in a great mood, parked, checked in, got set up, chit-chatted with a couple of the Mountain West upper brass, and all of a sudden I was bombarded with the voting, the conversation about Boise State versus UNLV, and this person just started... I just belittling UNLV. Like I, here was the thing. It wasn't a matter of sharing opinion. It was you guys. Like, well, you know, you guys don't have the proof. And I'm in my head.
I'm thinking, I'm not us guys. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't refer to UNLV as us. We, you know, us. You know, you or you know. Apparently, this person referred to the Broncos as we. Yeah. So anyway, neither here nor there. I was just kind of like, okay, I didn't want to get in this conversation at 6:52.
Exactly.
So I just kind of ended it and said, oh, you know, and I walked off and I had to go talk to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, nothing against a lot of the people who are working in Podunk, and good luck to them when they go to the Pac-12. But the we and us stuff, I always thought, is really stupid, dangerous. It also sort of disallows you from being a real media member and actually being critical at times, but you know, you choose your lot in life and you do what you got to do, right? Everyone's got to make a living. So football is less than 2 weeks away. Camps are opening up. Meanwhile, locally, we've got Raiders and UNLV in next week. Raiders rookies are in now. I want to do a giveaway here. We got the Nighthawks indoor football playing against Tucson. That's next Saturday. Lee's Family Forum in Henderson. You can grab your tickets at axs.com, but we've got a pair right now. Griffin's going to hook you up. 364-1100, 364-1100. So after the show last night, Willie, the SO and I went to go grab a bite to eat and a brewski.
Okay.
And over my shoulder, she doesn't listen to me. She just watches TV when we're out. Over my shoulder, I kept seeing her peek at this TV, and behind her was a game of flag football featuring Staten Island.
Oh, yeah.
The Fresh Kills Dump Squad.
The Steelers.
Right? Yes. And the Apex Predators. And I kept trying to explain to her who the Predators were, and she was, like, not getting it because they were wearing Chargers. So explain it to the audience, and then what happened?
So that was last year's championship game. But what happens is these teams qualify in regionals, or they play in tournaments, right, throughout the rest of the year. And these high quality flag football teams get to a point in the summer where they qualify to go to Canton, Ohio. The Apex Predators are representing the Raiders. Now, last year, and I can't remember the complication that screwed it up, but they ended up being labeled the Chargers. Staten Island was indeed the Giants last year. This year, they're the Steelers. But what you were watching was last year's championship between the high school girls level in Canton, Ohio. And for the third year in a row, the Apex Predators made it to the championship game, but they lost. So they've lost 3 years in a row, but they've represented Henderson, Nevada. So they are Southern Nevada's representative. This year, there are three or four teams, and I watched two of them play today. So, yeah, that's you play on a club team for X amount of months representing your town. But when you get to the finals, it's kind of like Little League, right? Your Mountain Ridge Little League, your Lone Mountain Little League, your Arroyo Grande Little League, whatever Little League. But once you get past San Bernardino, you're considered the West Regional champions. And then they go, and then it breaks down to where you're from, in what city, and then, you know, no nickname. But with this, it's the Henderson Raiders, but they're the Apex Predators.
Okay. I needed that explained. I was kind of not watching it. I was trying to explain to her, and I was also looking on the field for signage that said Canton. I'm like, okay, maybe I don't know what the hell's going on here. I think we talked about this, but I'm very confused.
Yeah.
All right. In a couple of minutes, we got Chef Mark is going to check in. We'll talk a little food. We'll talk a little football, especially with – training camp's open. There's some significant Raiders news to get to, including Christian Wilkins, the roughly $32 million man. We know, in spite of some reports, one of the guys on SI, Hondo, said there was nothing to see here, but there's something to see here. He's now on the PUP list, Willie.
Yeah, and it's, I mean,
the broken foot is still lingering.
It is something to see. I think that the main thing, too, is that because they put him on that list before everything gets started, they can activate him whenever without – there's no mandatory, you know, where he has to stay on for a certain amount of time. So, I mean, it is a big deal in terms of Christian Wilkins being put on the PUP list. Foot injuries, you know, they need time to heal. He's been out for quite some time. So, you know, we sort of saw this – we see this around different leagues in the NBA and WNBA. And, I mean, broken foots, you want those to heal properly, because what you don't want, especially with the lineman carrying a lot of weight, putting that pressure on those bones and that structure, you want everything to heal properly. So I think they did it obviously strategically before the start of training camp next Wednesday, I believe. So that way when he is ready to go, they can bring him back, but he will. It sounds like he's going to miss the start of preseason, not just training camp.
Defensive lineman, the stories of the early camps here. We'll get to some of the news from yesterday with T.J. Watt, and obviously the Bengals we want to hit on with Trey Hendrickson, and your guy Micah Parsons with the Cowboys. We're loaded today. Really good guest coming on board. Chef Mark is up next. Remember, we're down here at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Awesome menu. They've held all the prices in line. You got free parking, so you're not freaking ding $25 before you even get in the house here. 55-plus TV. Second half of baseball is starting. They got the brand-new spicy chicken sandwich. Mateo loves that one. The Loco Mocos, the traditional stadium food. It's all great. I love the chicken tenders. Hey, if it's not stadium food, we still like it. Chicken salad sandwich. So get on down here. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar on a Friday.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Willie Cofield is Friday. No conflict Friday. There's going to be a couple conflicts, I know there are. We're going to get into the WNBA All-Star Game.
Ooh.
In just a little bit.
Ooh.
And the activities around it.
Mm.
Griffin sent over a story about Paige Becker's dating status. Mm-hmm. Was this new to you?
No.
Okay.
Okay, let me try to do Reader's Digest. Paige Becker's and AZ Fudd, best of friends, win the national championship. They would go viral all last season because of their, you know, their camaraderie as teammates. But after the season ended and AZ showing up everywhere and then, you know, little social media videos or, you know, it was just, you could tell that they were more than teammates. You could tell they were a couple, right? And then all of a sudden the last month or so, AZ showing up to certain games and holding hand, they'd hold hands, whatever. So, I mean, it was pretty much a done deal. And then there was a TikTok or a social media post where AZ did a selfie and the back of her phone case said Paige Becker's girlfriend. So I was like, it's you know what it is? It's the fans. And I think it's a lot of young women who may have trouble coming out. I don't know. But they just have been waiting for the confirmation. So it was very, to them, it was a big deal. They really wanted to hear that. So last night on the orange carpet, someone did one of those rapid fire questionnaires that are fun to do where you ask certain questions. And one of the trendy things is to say, do you know your, the one that started it was, do you know your NBA husband? How well do you know your NBA boyfriend or husband? And they'd ask all these random trivia questions about, and then at the end, they say, okay, reveal who it is. So they did that with Paige Becker's. And the interviewer said, how well do you know your girlfriend? Asked all these questions. And at the end said, okay, who's your reveal? And she said, AZ Fudd. Now, here was the most surprising thing to me that I had no clue. It didn't even dawn on me when I first heard her name, you know, 4 years ago. She's named after Las Vegas Aces executive Jennifer AZ. Had no clue. Did not know that. Her mom is a,
wow.
Her mom played in the WNBA. Her father played college basketball. But her mom was a big fan of Jennifer AZ and admired her and just loved the name. So she named her after Jennifer AZ. I can't wait to see Jennifer and bring it up.
My mother was a gigantic Manute Bol fan.
I wish you were named Bol.
I wish I was named Manute.
Well, you're Minute, but Bol Cofield.
That's the whole point.
Are we sure that's not his middle name? Steve Bol Cofield?
Steve Manute.
If your middle name was Bol, I would definitely be calling you Steve Smoka Cofield.
Okay.
Smoke a bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say.
Yeah.
Well, on a serious note, the fact that that Paige Becker's can be public with her girlfriend.
Yeah.
It would be cool if male athletes could do it. We were actually, and I have no idea what the ultimate answer on this is, but Adam Hill and I talked about a UFC fighter, mm-hmm. Peyton Talbot, mm-hmm. who there's been rumors for a long time that mm-hmm. he may have a relationship with Frank Ocean. Mm-hmm. Famous singer, mm-hmm. But apparently whatever they have, they're keeping very much on the down low as much as they can. But we're also talking about WNBA, where it's embraced, it's open, and then of all sports, right. MMA, if someone were openly gay on the male side,
let me just put
imagine what they'd be dealing with.
I agree with you 100%, and we experience it here in Las Vegas. With Carl Nassib, you know, in the Raiders, when he was with the Raiders. But let me just say one thing in terms of, for those that are saying, well, what took so long? Oh, Paige finally came out. I don't think it was a matter of her worried about what people thought and waiting to come out. I think what it was the avoidance of distractions. You know what I mean? She's a smart girl. Let's not forget that she was the number one recruit coming out of high school. She missed a year because of knee injuries. Should have been in the same class as Caitlin Clark. Received the same, if not more, attention when they both were freshmen. She won the National Player of the Year as a freshman. And I think she sat back and has observed the exposure of women's basketball and needed one less distraction to both careers, where all of a sudden every little thing is under the microscope and people are getting in your personal lives. I don't think it has to do with it. Just I'm not saying you were insinuating that, Steve, but I just want to put that out there. It has nothing to do with her worried about and finally coming out as gay. I just think it was a matter of, it's none of your damn business who I'm dating, and let's just keep it at that. And now they're out there in the public, and AZ's about to have her big year, and she'll be in the WNBA, but that's just the way it is. So I anyway, yes, you're right.
Quick right timeout when we come back. We're going to talk to Mark McMillan on the other side.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, let's bring in Chef Mark with Willie and Cofield. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, man? I'm sorry I had a little trouble with my phone, but I'm here, man. I was ready, man. I'm just looking at some highlights of people riding these bulls, so I'm getting a little excited.
Yeah, Willie, what's going on with the running of the bulls in Pamplona? Because I know that's your question of the day.
Yeah, I saw it, and I just said, let me put a crazy question up. I want to know if anyone we know or anyone from the company or just in general would participate in the running of the bulls. There were some close calls, I guess. I mean, isn't there always in Pamplona? But you added the little spice to, would Mark do this? I don't know. I don't know if – here's the thing. I think if we are asking if Mighty Mouse Mark McMillan would do it, I would even hesitate. I would say absolutely. He might turn around and try to tackle the damn thing. But now, Chef Mark, I don't know.
Yeah, Chef Mark is more nice. I have a knife in my hand, so I will turn around and stick one of them bulls in the jugular. But
and then smoke it.
Hey man, ain't nothing like some old smoked bull. Yeah. Hey, you know they do have some babies that we can smoke though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if Dan Mullen would do it. Barry Odom actually rode at a rodeo. Was that last year in the summer? And he got beat up pretty good. He got bucked off. I don't know if Dan Mullen would do it. I know this. Dan Mullen is really excited. We got to talk to him. We're going to talk more about that conversation. But, Mark, I know, you know, you were watching some of the stuff. Mullen's freaking energy is through the roof, not only about the program but about the market and trying to build up college football here in Vegas.
You know, he was one of the best college football analysts, you know, when he was in the booth. He had that energy. And you love to play for a coach like that, man. He's almost like a John Gruden. Mm. You know, he's a football guy. Like, he loves football, and he loves to see people succeed and being successful. And you see people talk about, it's UNLV, but they need to get out of that mindset. Why not UNLV? Why can't they fill the stadium up? They've shown last 2 years they went 10-win seasons. So sooner or later, people are going to have to say, like, you know what? They do have something going on. He must have heard the bulls. He must have heard the bulls.
The wild attack.
Mark got his hunting dogs out.
I thought one of the best things about what Mullen said when he pitches wealthy people around town, he said with, you know, a lot of truth, he's like, hey, what if I can bring a home college football playoff game here? What if I can get to the point where the program can get a seed inside of the top eight? And I was like, I'll buy that. I'd give you my money. Let's give it a run.
Hey, why not? Why not come here and play against them? Like UCLA, that's a good deal for them to come here. It's right down the road. If you want to build your program, if you want to get big-time players to come play in your program, you got to be able to play against big-time schools. And, you know, obviously when I was at Alabama, you know, we played against UT Chattanooga. We played against University of Temple. Where did I get Chattanooga from? Where did that come from?
I heard what you said.
Yeah, and we played against teams like that, and it built up their program. So why not come here and let it all on the line? And I like his attitude, like, you know, line it up.
One of the things that I appreciated about him covering, but I mean, and he did 90 minutes straight, right, during his availability to the media, 90 minutes, and held court. No one then, they were not short answers. But one of the things that he talked about was his appreciation for old school Las Vegas. And he said when he gets in his mode, he'll throw on some Frank Sinatra. So I asked him, I said, well, when was the first time you ever stepped foot on Las Vegas soil? And he said 2003. He goes, oh, way back. I'd have to think about it. Then he said 2003. I was like, yeah, there's some people here from the 70s, bro, that would say you're still somewhat of a newbie. So I'm not sure how did you come to appreciate the old school? And he kind of just talked about just the vibe of seeing it always, you know, either in TV or videos. But I think that's important that he embraces that. He says he loves the corner booths and the golden steer. And he brought up a lot of old, you know, things from old school Vegas that he's either talked to people about, seen on TV, or learned about, which I think is important in this town.
And he's done his homework, and, you know, you guys been here longer than me, and you know there's been some coaches that haven't been for me, but he's the guy that's out there. He's putting it on the line. Like I said, Barry Odom, you know, Coach Odom, they left a really good product in place for him to continue to be successful. And, you know, you look at their schedule and, you know, with the guys that they coming in with the transfer, the NIL deals and all that, they got some good solid players that were former five-star guys. I'm not real big on the stars, but if these guys live up to some of their billing, they can continue to win games. And like I said, if they beat UCLA here, look out college football.
Speaking with Mark McMillan, of course, an honorary member of the company and now a local personality, Chef Mark, former NFL player. Mark, do you you have something going on with the PBR in October? Are you grilling for some cowboys?
Oh my goodness, man! Steve kind of teed it up when he was talking about Coach riding a bull last year. Coach did suffer concussions, but they went on to have a record-winning season, Steve. So I am going to be partnering up with PBR and the Las Vegas Motor Resorts October 24th through the 26th. I am going to be grilling for the fans. They got some. Have you guys been out to the Motor Resorts? They got some mobile homes out there that's over $200,000. They're like houses on wheels.
Chef Mark is with us. So what are the details in terms of the dates with the PBR, and what do you think you're going to be cooking?
Right now, me and Chef Russell, he's coming in from from Arizona. Chef Richard from Evil Pie, he'll be joining me as well. So we're thinking about doing some brisket burn-ins. We'll do some ribs, we'll do some wings, and then we're going to do a burnt-in mac and cheese, just gooey, just cheesy, flavorful with my Sweet Heat barbecue sauce and also with my spices as well. So last year they said they had like 120 people, so this year they're expecting 150. But I think with all the promotion that they're putting behind this, I think we'll get probably 200 people out there that we're going to be feeding, man. Hungry Cowboys, hungry fans. And then we'll head on over to T-Mobile and watch the team championships. And that's the question. People are asking me, am I going to sit on a bull? What do you guys think, Cofield? What do you think?
As long as it's not released out of the pen, I think you might try to sit on it.
I don't know. I think
don't ride one.
I think the bell under the bull's neck is bigger than Mark.
Okay.
you might be right, but I'm excited, man. This is obviously, you know, yeah, from being on Next Level Chef to partner up with NASCAR to now PBR, you know, bull riding championship. So I'm excited, man. I can't wait to get into the arena and feel the excitement and see the power of those bulls, and of course feed some hungry people so they can go away happy and full of that Grilling McMillan Sweet Heat barbecue, baby.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been up close to into that event or in a pen where they're. I had an opportunity, I don't know how many years, 20 some odd years ago, somebody asked me if I was free to hold a boom mic, and I just thought they wanted me to hold it over the railing. And when I got there, they said, no, Willie, your job is to aim the tip of the boom mic to the bell. So if it comes up to the railing where you're sitting in behind that right on the dirt, in, you know, down there, then you have to stay there and aim it right at the bell and just sit there. Let me tell you something. It's one thing to be that close and you're watching the action, but when that thing comes 6 inches from you and you're just on the other side of the rail, it is a rush. It is wild.
Well, that's a rush I will not be looking forward to, but I will pose the question, will I sit on the bull? And I know some fans actually reached out the other day. They sent me a picture of me trying to tackle Ironhead Hayward. And I don't know how close to the turf I got, because I was not trying to make that business decision. I got as far into the turf as I could to get away from running into him. So I can just imagine how massive these bulls are going to be. So I'm excited, man. Las Vegas has been great for me. You guys have been awesome and let me use my platform to be able to promote amazing events like this. Steve, we got to get you out there, man. Let's get a show out there, man, with the Cowboys. Let's do a nice little Cowboy show. Put on some boots and some spurs. Let's get some boots and some spurs, man. We're going to get some Wranglers, some tight jeans, some butt huggers. Get some butt huggers, some nutcrackers.
Some nutcrackers. I'm definitely up on being around the cowgirls, you know. Been to the country bars around here. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Last couple minutes. Willie just talked about being next to a big beast and it being exhilarating. I think the Raiders would like for the opposing football teams to feel that way when Tyree Wilson is coming at them. And this is a massive training camp for Tyree Wilson because he is a man-child. He's got the size to play inside. They probably need him to play inside. If Wilkins isn't going to be ready, this is one of the many battles, you know, defensive tackle, defensive backfield, linebackers. There's going to be a lot of battles in training camp for the Raiders on defense.
Yes, this is a big money year for this guy. Obviously, he's got a lot of money in the bank for being the top pick anyway. But he kind of reminds me of a Mike Mamula. And it's not a knock on Mike Mamula, even though we drafted Mamula in front of Warren Sapp. I don't know what we were thinking about then. But, you know, he didn't live up to the billing of his numbers in the combine. And Tyreek has, you know, he had amazing numbers. He looks like a freak coming off the bus. But when he puts his hand on the ground, man, he's just a regular guy. So hopefully somebody can light a fire up under this young man's tail, because you don't know when you're going to get Wilkinson's back, how healthy he's going to be. So a lot of pressure is still going to be on Max Crosby. But if this young man don't step up, man, he's going to be looking at the road. You know, the NFL is a cutthroat business, and if you're not performing, you'll be sitting on the bench, and that would be a lot of money that they're wasting. And then, obviously, you know, trade talks or releasing him, who's going to pick up a player with that kind of money and that kind of salary to help their ball club out?
Hey, Mark, I got 30 seconds left. When can I get the smoked garlic hot sauce from you?
Oh, man, I got the labels done and everything. I know I've been texting you and all that, so it should drop within the next week. So hopefully I have them on shelves. I'll make sure you get one. We'll hand out a couple of bottles to the fans as well, man. So the smoked hot sauce is coming out, man. People ask for hot sauce, and I'm delivering. Let's go.
Ace Hardware?
Ace Hardware will have it. Barbecue Concepts will have it. Ace Hardware, they're excited, man. They're like, has the sauce. Every day they're texting me, has the sauce come in. Ace Hardware, they're excited about that. And I'm partnered up with Ace Hardware as well. In a couple of weeks, we'll be doing another cookout and a giveaway. So stay tuned for that.
Mark, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, baby. Let's go.
There is Chef Mark getting ready to cook for the people and the Bulls. Maybe he'll make some food for the Bulls as well, the winning Bull. Coming up next, let's talk about the fight weekend coming up, including UFC, where I think it's a retirement fight now for both guys. But, you know, one of the guys who's been a real grinder in UFC is going to walk away, win or lose.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
So Willie had the topic today about Pamplona running the Bulls and was asking, do we know anyone who would run with the Bulls? I think even at this age, and he's not an old man, but I think Big Mac would do it. Ryan McKinnell, have you talked about this before? Have you thought about this before? Would you run with the Bulls in Pamplona?
Steve, listen, I might be in northern Indiana right now across from a fair, the Elkhart County Fair. Cars up on blocks around me as I do this interview, but I don't do white people stuff. I don't do white people stuff. And I know that it's in Pamplona and it's in Spain and that's not really white people, but running with bulls is white people stuff. And I don't run with bulls. I don't stand next to bulls. I don't pat bulls. I don't talk to bulls. I keep my distance from bulls, Steve.
I didn't have Big Mac going racial on my bingo card today.
Really? You know, you're really? A brown man in this country. You know, white people do so a lot of silly stuff to keep themselves occupied. That you look at it, you're like, nope, I'm not going to do that. Running with bulls is absolute. I'm sorry, is your life not exciting enough? Is it not exciting enough living in the devil's armpit of the world in Las Vegas, where everything's 120 degrees and open 24 hours a day, and you can get anything anywhere at any time? You need to fly over to Spain and run around with some bulls and get a horn jammed in places that you don't want jammed. You know what I mean? Like, that reeks of stupid white people to me. It reeks of people that are just need to find danger. I'm not that person, guys. I think you guys know that. I feel like I'm being set up with this first
not at all.
I feel like Cofield just fired up Big Mac so much that Cofield and I just ran with the bull himself.
Yeah, there you go. We got to stick him.
I'll take that as a compliment.
The Brahma Bull.
Is that audience you mentioned, is that the audience that FS1 wants with Barstool guys? They just blew out all these former football players. They blew out one of my favorites in Joy Taylor, and now they're going to do Barstool, and they're going to bring in Portnoy, and they're going to put him on one of their premium football shows. It seems like a weird mix, but I think FS1 is so hungry for, like, any sort of winning formula at this point, they're willing to try it, Big Mac.
Yeah, and listen, it's almost like two steps forward, four steps back for me as a sports fan personally. Like, I actually like some of the cuts they were making, and there was talks of, hey, maybe FS1's going to bring in Reali. And there were some other names that were mentioned that were thrown in there. The Portnoy thing isn't surprising to me, Steve. I get it. We're living in this sort of, like, the zeitgeist and this cult of personality and the McAfees of the world. And Stephen A. Smith out cutting pro wrestling promos, you know, every weeknight into your home on 24-hour loop. And it's funny. Like, Steve, I was just talking about this with a buddy literally about an hour ago in regards to how exhausting these characters are. Dave Portnoy is an exhausting character. I say that as an exhausting character myself. Stephen A. Smith, exhausting. Pat McAfee, exhausting, right? And gone are the old days of ESPN or even Fox Sports where you could just leave it on for 24 hours and let the highlights play and the sort of, you know, the banter back and forth. We're entering a new era of sports media, and the Portnoy, again, the McAfee signings, these are a part of it. Shane Gillis doing the ESPYs this week, right? There's a shift happening. In some cases, I think for the better, right? I thought Gillis did a good job. I thought an injection of character on the morning shows can be a good thing. But you know, a lot of these characters come with severe baggage, and Portnoy is one of them. Steve, I think you know that.
Okay, we got UFC in the cage to get to in a couple of minutes. But I do have to insert something in here because we always exchange stories before these spots, but I forgot to include maybe the most important story of the week. Speaking of exhausting, is Conor McGregor and Wienergate, or Weighted Wiener, is, as you saw, I teased it during the week, is he now a lock to be on that UFC card at the White House next year? Or is this like one of the final straws where that's enough with Conor McGregor, sending it to Azalea Banks, and then she clowned on him, and he basically, I guess he thought it was a big joke. He had some fun on social media with Chael Sonnen afterwards.
I mean, lean into it, right? Like, if you can. Conor, Chael Sonnen was talking about it, like, ad nauseum. He's like, I can't escape it. Conor's, you know, picture. It's coming for me everywhere I look. And it's like, Chael, this isn't something that's going to grow legs and come and find you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, like, you have to search that out. I feel like Chael had a really unhealthy sort of obsession with everything going on with related to the southern region of Conor McGregor this week. Steve, I listen, when you talk about that White House show, right, three names come up. Let's take Donald Trump and everything outside of that. Three names in the mixed martial arts sphere come up. John Jones' potential return, Conor McGregor, and Dana White. Those three names. If Dana's talking about it, John's talking about it, Conor's talking about it. Guys, are there three bigger liars in all of sports, in any of the major sports, more than Dana White, John Jones, and Conor McGregor? I think the fight's going to happen. I think they're going to do an event there. Do I think either John or Conor's going to be involved? Absolutely not.
Well, outside of the four commissioners, sorry to cut you off, Steve. Then I'll let you out. Let me just answer. Maybe the four commissioners of five of the five major sports. Go ahead, Steve.
That's sort of the position. I don't trust any of them. I guess I trust Adam Silver more than I trust Conor McGregor, John Jones, and Dana White. It's a weird deal. It's a weird deal. Willie, I think, found the story of the week. Willie, can you talk about the Malaysian fries?
Did you see this, Big Mac?
Not until Steve sent it over, and I gave him the credit. He was like, no, that's all Willie. Willie, I don't know how this story went over my head this week. I guess I've been paying attention to the wrong things, or your algorithm's better than mine. But, buddy, when I saw this, I was like, oh, that's me. Thank you,
McDonald's,
guys.
McDonald's has
launched. Not even for a radio spot. Thank you for bringing it into my life.
McDonald's has launched a XXL shareable version of their fries called Fans Fries in Malaysia. And I guess it's supposed, like, the second picture has two people that are about to share it. Like, you can see their fingers about to go into it. But, like, I'm with you. Like, I can't remember the last time I went through a McDonald's drive-thru. I really can't. But that right there, like, I would just get fries. If I was going through McDonald's, I would get that every single time, that size. I have to wonder if the viral videos that have been the last month, can you eat a Big Mac in less than a minute, did this trigger the, hey, we need to get some bigger fries?
Well, what I'm trying to figure out, guys, how did anyone beat us to a larger portion size of anything? Like, How did America lose that battle? That's like what we do. We do bigger than everybody. And so that was my first thought, was just, wow, Malaysia beat us to the what we should have been adapting to all the time. You know, guys, I saw this not too long ago. It was, you know, movie theaters, obviously, big summer movie slate. Got Fantastic Four coming up here real soon. Just had Superman last weekend. I'm not like a big movie theater popcorn guy. Like, I mean, it's fine. Like, sometimes I'll splurge and I'll do it. But could you imagine if they had, like, McDonald's inside of movie theaters and you could just get a bucket of McDonald's fries and, like, a cherry Coke?
Instead of popcorn.
Oh, my God. Willie, this is the world I want to live in. And Malaysia, it sounds like they're setting the tone, you know? I mean, I don't know if I have any plans. It's not really on my list of places that I need to go, but I now know about this fry situation that definitely, you know, they had a better chance than they had before, Willie.
Well,
they had a better chance than they had before.
Considering what your nickname is on the as part of the company here, can you eat a Big Mac in less than a minute?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Sure. 100%. Especially, let's not even get, we're talking about a 2025 Big Mac, right? Like a current Big Mac.
Yeah.
Let's not even get into the fact of how much they've shrunken the size of a Big Mac. We could get into, back in my day, a Big Mac was a Big Mac and was an actual sandwich that would fill you up. Now, they're nothing. They're a smattering of what they used to be.
Smattering.
Ryan McKinnell's with us. A little bit of MMA. He's a combat expert as well as an expert on everything else. Just ask him. Dustin Poirier is fighting tomorrow against Max Holloway. Baddest, you know-whatter. Title fight. What has Poirier meant to UFC and meant to, you know, we mentioned Dana White earlier, and he's having to lean on guys who are so unpredictable in Jon Jones and in McGregor. Talk about Poirier being available to fight pretty much any time against anyone.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those fights, Steve, that obviously is going to make you and I and a lot of older fans feel old, right? I remember we were there that night that they debuted when they were, 19, 20 years old, I think, respectively. I remember sitting there cage side that night and saying, you know, once these guys get their man body, when they really start are able to pack on muscle, they're going to be problems. And obviously they grew into the legends that became, respectively, Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier. But since, you know, obviously the sport says goodbye tomorrow officially from Dustin Poirier. You said it, man. In a sport of volatile characters and liars and cheats and the Jon Joneses of the world and throwing, you know, your UFC 200 card into chaos and all these different weekends and problems and stressful months that these fighters have given Dana White, Dustin Poirier has been that rock, right? Truly that diamond. It's a very fitting nickname for a guy that has, you know, endeared himself not only to the company. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes when you say it's a company man, that's most times when you're talking about that with the UFC, that's not a good thing. When you say that about Dustin Poirier, it means, I think, a little bit something different because of the challenges that he took along the way. Like, there wasn't an era where he wasn't fighting the best in the world, and oftentimes, Steve, beating the best in the world. And here's the other thing, and Steve, I think you'll agree when you talk about Dustin Poirier, I've never heard one person ever on either side of the aisle say, hey, I don't, you know, that guy just doesn't do it for me. I don't like that Dustin Poirier guy. You know what I mean? Like, universally loved by absolutely everybody in the sport, and it's going to be lesser tomorrow when he retires.
And I also like the fact that he's walking away, I think, with most of his wits about him. He is, what now, 36? I mean, he could play out the string here and, you know, lose five times in a row. He's actually been losing recently to some of the best fighters in the world, so he's kind of walking away on his own terms with a good fight and not taking extra fights when we see so many guys who didn't manage their money and they have to fight.
Yeah, and a clear A-side on his way out, right? Like, this is the main event of a pay-per-view of a, frankly, not a particularly fantastic card, really, at all. This is about as much of a one-fight card as you're going to get, and it comes in Dustin Poirier's final fight, and he's getting it in, obviously, you know, his home state, and he's getting it with a Lil Wayne walkout. You know what I mean? It's just, it feels bigger, and rightfully so. I give Dana White and the UFC credit for sending Dustin, Dustin out on a high note, because he's certainly above just about everybody else, every other fighter. Steve, Dustin Poirier deserves that.
Ryan McKinnell's with us. Ryan, I got like 90 seconds left. I have no idea what your reaction is going to be to this one. It's actually been a story I've wanted to talk about all week, and I felt like it got kind of buried. But at Big 12 Media Days, Deion Sanders was talking about college football salary caps, and he especially wants to limit what the young guys – make. I thought this was highly insulting, and especially from the guy who put out the song, Must Be the Money. Really, Dion? Really?
And like 6 years before he released that rap record, right? Like he was at Florida State labeling himself Neon Dion in primetime and getting as much money as he could possibly get being a marquee star in an amateur, you know, sport at that time. I don't know, man. I'm a huge Deion Sanders fan. I always have been. He was my favorite player in the 90s growing up. When I was growing up as a sports fan, obviously a two-sport athlete, him and Bo Jackson, and then Michael Jordan, they were kind of like the holy trinity of my life. And, yeah, to hear him say something like this when he was such a money chaser, still is such a branding guy and such a money chaser, I don't care whatever the market deems these young kids and their value to their respective universities and their respective brands, they should get every last cent. They should never accept anything less. It's absolutely absurd to talk about putting a cap when we've seen, like, the entire Texas offensive line has a Lamborghini. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've seen the videos. Get the bags. Get all the bags.
Ryan, have a good weekend, man. Enjoy the fair. I don't know what the hell fair you're at. That sounded pretty good with the junk cars and everything else.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Have fun, buddy.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Send some pictures. Yeah, Dion confuses me a bit. Now, I'm going to cut him a break for a second in that maybe he wasn't completely of right mind because his health is not very good right now. But I think that was more of his frustration seeing places like, and apparently he has a decent relationship with Joey McGuire at Texas Tech, and that's who he was kind of going after and using as an example. And Texas Tech has unbelievable benefactors. I think Deion's frustrated that Colorado, they have good benefactors but not zillionaires who are willing to throw all that money into the program. That said, he could probably get out and pitch for more money, but he also maybe this, from what I've heard, it's been a summer of, again, health struggles. And maybe he just hasn't had the ability to go out and visit people. That said, I'm not sure that he wants to do that because that is a hard part of the college football job is going out and constantly asking for money. I want to give you an odds update because we didn't mention in combat sports that Manny Pacquiao is fighting. I'm going to get you an update on that on the way back as Pac-Man is plus 210, but there's a bunch of different betting options on this fight against Barrios.